Welcome to the Seasoned Athlete Podcast, your home for stories, inspiration, and advice from athletes over 40. I'm your host, Robin Leggett. I'm a later in life athlete who became a roller derby skater in my 30s and a runner and obstacle racer in my 40s. Now, I'm an athletic aging coach who helps women over 40 experience the massive life benefits that come with exploring your athletic potential at any age and any fitness background. If that fires you up, keep listening. Let's do this. Earlier this month, Seasoned Athlete celebrated our fourth anniversary of our very first episode. Since that day, June 7th, 2017, I've had the distinct honor and pleasure of interviewing nearly 100 athletes with varying backgrounds, athletic experience, and of course, ages. I've talked to athletes ranging in age from 40 to 96 years old so far. And let me tell you, the stories of the athletes in their 70s, 80s, and 90s are some of the most fun interviews and fun stories to share. Because there's a common theme with these athletes that no matter when they started, and some didn't start till their 40s, 50s, or 60s, they don't let age stop them now. Like, not even a little bit. There's this openness to new experiences, new opportunities, and new friendships that guide them into these amazing athletic adventures. It's inspiring for me. It's inspiring for anyone who listens to simply be open to trying something new and seeing where it takes you. Today, I get to share one such story. On this episode, I talk to Flo Filion Myler, a pole vaulter and track and field athlete. I'm going to wait to let Flo reveal her age in just a couple minutes, but I'll give you a hint right now. She's in her 80s. Yep, pole vaulting in her 80s. So much awesomeness. Flo's story has been covered by ESPN, NPR, The Today Show, and the Olympics did a really stunning and beautiful 9-minute video feature about her, which you can see on the Olympics.com website. Now, it's my turn to share her story. Prepare to be inspired by pole vaulter and world record holder Flo Filion Myler. Hi, Flo. Are you ready to drop some seasoned athlete knowledge on our listeners today?
I sure am.
I am so excited to talk to you. We'll find out in a second why, but you are Flo Filion Myler.
Right.
You are a pole vaulter. You're a track and field athlete and just a superstar.
So I try to be.
You try to be. And I love it. So we're just going to start with that. But from here, I'm going to ask the question that I ask all my guests, and that is, what is your age at this moment in time?
I am going to be 87 on June 7th.
So you're on the verge of 87. I think by the time this episode airs, you will be 87.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, you know, I didn't want to spoil that when I brought up that you're a pole vaulter and a track and field athlete. You are at the time of the airing of this episode, 87-year-old pole vaulter.
I am the oldest woman pole vaulter in the world.
I mean, let's take a moment just to acknowledge that, the oldest pole vaulter in the world. What an amazing distinction and accomplishment.
It's a great feeling.
I bet, especially when you're flying through the air knowing that, right?
Yes.
So, Flo, let's find out how you got here. What did your early athletic life look like? Did you play sports growing up?
Yes, I always did. I come from a very, very small town in northern New York, by Champlain, New York, right next to the Canadian border. But I was very fortunate to be active in the sports at St. Mary's Academy. I played basketball there, and I was a cheerleader. And I also took up tap dancing and a little bit of acrobatics from my cousin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was very, very active in the high school. I accompanied the glee club with the piano and the choir at church on the organ.
So you did all the things.
Yes. And I was also in the drama club. But anyway, after graduation, I became very involved in water ski competition.
Oh, wow. I was a water skier. Well, I was a water skier as a young child.
On Lake Champlain, because Lake Champlain was only 4 miles from our town. And we had a ski club there that was very, very active. And I also was involved in doing water ski shows.
So water ski shows, what were those like? Like, was it just you or was it with other people?
We had this, what we call a slalom course, and there's three balls on each side, and you had to go zigzagging between the balls. And you started at a certain speed and then increased your speed and went as fast as you could.
Okay, so you were doing the daredevil stuff early on.
Yes, and then we did the pyramid, which is two girls. And we,
that's what I wanted to know, if you did that.
Yes, we held the small girl on our shoulders.
Yes. Like, I have a memory of that. I don't know if you're familiar with the band, the Go-Go's. They had a music video called for their song Vacation, where they were doing the pyramids. And so that's my memory of what that looks like. And so you got to do it for real.
Yeah.
How cool. I've never met anyone who did, you know, the water ski acrobatics and pyramids and stuff like that. I've never met anyone in real life until now. So this is so cool. So yeah, you were doing the sports, doing the acrobatics, doing the performing arts. You were doing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And then did you continue? You know, you were doing this through college. Did you continue in your...
No, I didn't. I never got a chance to go to college.
Okay.
Because my dad unfortunately passed away of leukemia a month before I graduated from high school. And we had a dairy farm, so there was no way my mom had to sell. And I didn't want to burden her with any charges to go to school. So I decided to go to work as a secretary. But after 7 years, I met my wonderful husband, who was a B-47 pilot at Plattsburgh Air Force Base.
Oh, wow.
And I got him involved in water skiing and also snow skiing.
Oh, so it's always nice when you get to do that with your spouse.
Right. And then he went to B-52 training, B-52 bomber. And we were stationed in California. And then we were stationed in Orlando, Florida for 3.5 years. And we both did a lot of water ski competition there.
So you continue doing that through the years.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And then after he decided to take up a business course and got his master's, we moved to Vermont, and he became a stockbroker for over 35 years. And we continued. Luckily, we have a beautiful home on Shelburne Bay, which is part of Lake Champlain. And on our younger years, we had our own slalom course right in front of our house.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we did a lot of water skiing.
And so it's like you had your own private course that you could do,
right.
Like just you and your husband doing these like crazy slalom activities.
Yep.
Out there, like living the dream, flow.
And
like,
a very exciting life.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped for you.
No, then we took up tennis around age 40.
Okay.
And then at age 60, my husband and I, Gene, we were qualifying for the Vermont Senior Games, and I'll never forget, it was at Middlebury College, which was about 45 minutes from here. At halftime, Barbara Jordan, who is my former training partner, she came over and said, we're desperate for track people. I would like you to come and try the long jump. And I looked at her very strangely, and I says, Barb, I've never done track. She says, that's okay. You'll be good at it.
It's like she knew, because you've always been naturally adept at so many different things. So why not try?
Right. So I went and tried the long jump, and that started the beginning of my 27-year career in track and field.
and wait, how old were you when you first tried track?
60.
60. See, this is what I love about your story. First of all, that you've transitioned to different sports through the years, that you seem to always be willing to try something new, even if it's just completely outside your wheelhouse. And that even in your 60s, you know, you're like, okay, sure, I'll try track. Hey, I can do this too. And it's something you've continued to do for over 20 years into your 80s.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I remember my first meet. I was still doing tennis, but I started doing the long jump, and I came out number four out of about 22 ladies. So I was really excited. And then I went and did the high jump, and I tied for third. And that was the first time I did high jump at a meet.
I mean, that tells you something right there. Like, okay.
That really,
I'm on to something.
Motivated me so much.
Yeah. You know, that's always nice when just right out of the gate, you excel and do well. And you're like, okay, I can do that.
But I have worked, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to have Barbara Jordan, my training partner. She was a senior fitness instructor at the University of Vermont also. And she was a fabulous athlete. And so her and I working together like we did, and we had the retired church, retired coach from the University of Vermont, who coached us also for over 20 years. We had an awful lot of fun together.
Yes. But
about 7 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so since then, I have training by myself, and it's been very, very difficult.
I'm sure that's much harder.
Yeah.
Because there is power in connecting and community and having people in your corner.
Yes.
and lifting each other up together. So,
Yeah, sometimes she would win, or sometimes I would, and we would always congratulate each other.
See, that's amazing. You know, just great. And that's the thing, like you can compete against somebody, but you respect them so much that even when they outclass you on a certain day, you can be happy for them. And that's, you know, and that's a great benefit of competition. I think, you know, it's interesting. I talk to a lot of people about competition because that's a big cornerstone of this podcast. And there are people who have a negative, you know, view of competition, but this is a topic that's come up a lot in that, you know, when you respect your opponent, first of all, like you want them to play at the highest level to raise you up to the highest level. Mm-hmm. And then when they beat you that day, you know, all you could do is be happy for them.
That's right. We congratulated each other whenever that happened.
And I'm sure it went back and forth. I'm sure there were days where you beat her and there were days that she beat you.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. What are the events that you continue to compete at to this day?
I do at least 18 events. Well, not at one meet.
Right. Sure. Sure.
But if you count them all, let's see if I can find them here.
I like that you have to, you're like, I have to find a list somewhere.
Well, I do so many of them.
Yeah. And for those listening, Flo is literally getting up and going to find her list of events.
By the way, I want to mention that I have 30 world records and I have 28 U.S. records.
And all since you started in your 60s?
Yeah. And then I have over 780 medals.
Where do you put them? Where do you display them?
I have a library here, and where the beams meet, I got them up and down, and now it's full. So now I started another shelf underneath the window over here.
Flo, you're going to need a bigger house or a house just for your medals.
I did find my list here. My husband is so good. He has put together over 14 albums with all my records in my
I need my husband to do that. I have a box of medals and I of course he competes too. So he has his own box of medals, but I'm like, I need him to put everything up on a wall and make scrapbooks for me.
Off and on, I've done over 18 events. I do the pentathlon and the pole vault, the high jump, the long jump, the triple jump, the 60 meter hurdles indoors, the shot put, the discus, the weight throw, 100 meter run, 200 meter run. And at one time I did the 300 meter hurdles, the hammer throw, the 4x100 relay, the javelin, the steeplechase, 80 meter hurdles outdoors and 800 meter outdoors.
See, this is why when I was fawning on you, when we first started talking, but I couldn't reveal like exactly why, this is why. Right here, that list. So what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite? And why is that?
My favorite is the pole and the hurdles because they're so challenging.
Sure, sure. This is a good opportunity to go into some of your highs and lows. And, you know, almost sounds like a pun when I talk about highs because, you know, with the pole vault, you can fly through the air. So do you remember your favorite competition day, that one time where everything worked perfectly for you? Do you have a memory like that?
Yes, but I don't remember the year it was. It was an indoor championship at the Dartmouth Relays in New Hampshire. And I had, forget how high I had gotten. And my coach says, if you go, you know, try, you got to do it. You'll get a record if you do a little bit higher. And I was very, very hesitant. And I tried it and I did it. And I screamed away and hugged my coach because I had set a new world record.
Amazing.
And then at the senior games in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
This is an audio podcast, so I'm going to describe. You just pulled out what looks like a pile of medals.
Eight gold medals.
Hold them up and clang them, will you? Make some noise. There we go. That's the podcast version.
One silver. And I had one, two, three records, three U.S. records and one world record in the pole vault.
And you're holding that all in your hand right now.
Yes.
Very cool. I like that you just, it's like on the counter, like all my records for this one event. I'm just going to reach behind and grab them and show them to you. You're ready to go.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, Flo, what was maybe your toughest day that you had, your hardest, I don't like to say worst day, but your toughest competition memory?
Oh, my. You know, it's been almost 27 years. It's difficult.
True. I bet you push those ones out of your head, too.
You know, I can't recall a bad day.
It's not a bad way to live. You know, only good days and great days, right?
Yeah. If I didn't, because Barbara and I, like I said, always competed against each other. So we were always helping each other, and we didn't criticize each other. And, you know, I don't remember a real bad day.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a great attitude to have. And I'm sure over time, it builds that way. Do you find when you're out there, it's your happy place?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the magic right there. I know I do different kinds of races, and I know that even when I have a tough day, when I'm out there, it's my happy place. I do everything from road running, 5K, 10K, half marathon. I ran my first marathon here. And then my primary thing is obstacle racing, where you'll run a certain distance and you'll climb over a wall or crawl under barbed wire.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I've been doing that for about 5 years.
Uh-huh.
It's tough. Like, it's a difficult thing. And I'm sure you understand where it's challenging. Right. It's physically challenging. It's mentally challenging. But when you're out there, mm-hmm. It's when you're happy.
My favorite motto is never too late.
Well, you were a living example of that. And even though you've been participating in sport most of your life, you know, you have found it's never too late to make a switch, to try something new, right, to step outside your comfort zone. And it's been rewarding for you throughout. So, you know, you know, and hopefully someone listening is getting inspired by that. So, speaking of never too late, I love asking about, you know, challenges and advantages that you face as an older athlete. You are in your 80s. I don't talk to too many people in their 80s. So this is a really unique perspective for our show. You know, as someone who, you know, got into a new sport in your 60s and you're out there doing things that are earning you world records. So, you know, it's not easy stuff. You know, what types of challenges do you face putting yourself out there in this way and doing these types of sports?
I know that in order to keep up with what I hope to do, I have to train real hard. My training regimen is anywhere from 1.5 to 2 hours, 3 times a week. And then on Tuesdays, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will do about a half hour of machine weights. And then 1.5 hours of doubles tennis, just social tennis. And then on the weekends, I will do at least a 3-mile jog on a Saturday. The only day I have off is Sunday.
I mean, I'm sure people are listening to this who are much, much younger, who are blown away by your training regimen. But yeah, in order to perform at a high level, you've got to train at a high level. And you have to do things like your strength training. Like you say, you do your machine weights. You've got to do the strength training.
Yes, you do.
Especially as you age, because, you know.
And especially during the pole vault, your arms have to be very, very strong.
You probably have the strongest arms of anyone I know at 87 years old.
And then the hurdles, you really have to be strong to jump over those hurdles.
You have to have strength. You have to have power in your legs. Yeah. So you are doing the work in the gym to support your muscles. And especially as we get older, we're fighting muscle decline, muscle loss, bone loss. Right. So you're fighting against that muscle loss and bone loss while also building muscle and bone. So you have to work extra hard is basically what I'm saying.
But I have to say, I've been very, very fortunate. We belong to, it's a fitness. They have everything. We even have a small track above the tennis courts. So I was able to do some running this winter. That would have been terrible if I had not been able
to
do any running.
And especially, you could be by yourself out there running on the track.
And what they did, they eliminated the three tennis courts and put about 50 machine weights 6 feet apart. And then they put a artificial grass. So I was able to practice my hurdles on that artificial grass.
It sounds like they've got your back. They really support you in what you're doing.
Yes, because we play tennis there also. So I was very fortunate to have that. If I had not been able to do anything at all, that would have been a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a number of reasons, because, it's kind of use it or lose it when it comes to that training. And then as we age, it's even more so.
And the only thing that I didn't get to do at all, I can't wait. I'm going to start next week, is the high jump and the pole. I didn't have that opportunity. And of course, a week ago, I started doing the high jump because they put the pit out. And I did 8 jumps instead of doing just 4. And I did get an injury in my leg, my hamstring and my quad. So I've been nursing that now for a week and a half.
A bit too eager to get back out there, it sounds like.
But that's okay. It'll be okay.
So yeah, yes. That's another thing to keep in mind is, you've got to be mindful of your body. I imagine recovery is really important to you as well, being really mindful of that. So really strengthening your body, but also supporting it to prevent injury. Now, I like to also I'm going to flip it and ask, what advantages do you think you have coming into the sport later, participating at the age you're at now? What does age bring into your experience for you in a positive way?
I think I've motivated a lot of seniors to get active.
Oh, I bet.
In fact, the gals that I play with sometimes get upset because I'm so fast on the court. But, at least I tell them, you don't come and play tennis and not warm up. This is what really upsets me. Some of these gals come and play tennis, they don't even bother about warming up before they come, which is so ridiculous.
Yeah, in my experience in what I've seen over time is, if you don't have that habit already there, sometimes it's a hard thing to get started. And so you think you can skip it, and you have those practices well instilled. You have that dedication and discipline, and you know the importance because that's what it takes to perform at the level that you perform at.
Oh, I have to push myself sometimes, when it's really cold in the wintertime and
that's when it's hardest.
It's snowing out there. But my training partner, who just passed away last November, she instilled in me a real good practice and a good schedule to keep fit.
Yeah. And now it's your turn to pass that on to other people, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you're paying it forward by helping people and helping seniors understand, first of all, what they can do.
Right. I've been several motivation talks to some of the seniors here in Vermont. So that's been fun.
Yeah. And you're showing them what's possible and then helping give them, the proper practices to take care of themselves as they're doing it. So yeah, you're leading the way, Flo. What advice do you have for people who are around your age now, or maybe around your age when you started the sport, or at any age, who are inspired by your story, but might be intimidated by your story, or even intimidated by, you talked about how frequently you train, and someone, 50 years younger than you might be intimidated by that, right? So what advice do you have for those people?
Well, my advice is that, like I said, it's never too late to improve yourself. It's never too late to train at least 3 times a week. to get your body in shape. If you're not interested in becoming a good athlete, a very athletic athlete, you need to put those hours in, or else it's just not going to work. But also, I tell some of my senior friends to find a friend to go walking with, because it's so much more pleasant to be walking with someone and to discuss different things as you walk. So I do emphasize to try to do some type of exercise with a friend.
Yeah. And you've talked about that quite a bit, about the value of having you had your training partner, and how that really kind of elevated where you ended up and probably sped up your progress. And just the value of connection and having someone to do this with you. And as we get older, it gets harder and harder. You know, we find ourselves more isolated. And so finding that person, and whether you are getting out and walking or, you know, training to pole vault, you know, to fly through the air, jump over hurdles, you know, having that person or those people that can do it with you and support you in that, is, it just makes all the difference.
It's a wonderful feeling too. And when they did the Olympic video at the senior games in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I mean, they followed me for 5 days. So I had to make sure that it wasn't bothering me. You know, I had to think that they weren't there.
Yeah. I always wrap up my interviews by asking for one parting piece of wisdom. What would that be?
I would say that usefulness comes partly from strict training and total hours, you know, 2 hours or an hour and a half per day for 3 times a week and so forth. You have to be motivated, but you have to enjoy what you're doing. I do enjoy training and competing. It's in my blood.
It's clearly in your blood. And I think when you talk about training for an hour and a half, like if you didn't enjoy the sport, if you didn't enjoy the feeling, you wouldn't put all that time into the gym, right? Like you,
right.
And that's the thing. And that's what I really like to share in this podcast, is finding that thing for you. And you could probably agree with me on this, that, you know, the sport that you participate in is both, it's very physically engaging, but it's probably very mentally engaging too, correct?
Yes.
And that's what lights you up and keeps you putting in the time and the hours and the work to get better at it, is because it's
a wonderful feeling when people come up to you and say, what an inspiration you are. Yes. To me and to the people that were watching, you know.
Yes.
It gives them a goal to start exercising or doing something that will make them healthier.
Yeah. And I bet it feels amazing when someone shows up at a competition and said, I'm doing this because I saw you do it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. And then you said you had a quote, another quote you wanted to share.
Yeah.
I would love to hear it.
Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You are my people. Yes. Motivation was what gets you started. And then it's the day to day, just showing up and doing it day to day until it's not work anymore. Till it's just part of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference maker. And that's, you know, what hopefully you will inspire other people to get started on and hopefully achieve. And you've got that. You've been doing the sport and doing this. You've got this habit locked down. You know, I'm sure you have your routines every day, and you know exactly when you're going to exercise, what you're going to do. And it doesn't feel like a burden in your day. In fact, it's probably the thing you look forward to the most, right?
Yes. And my last world record in the pole vault, believe it or not, was January 2020. It was January 26th. I'll never forget, because it was an indoor at the community college in Providence, Rhode Island. I did 5'4", and then some of the gals were standing on the side, and my friends, and I said, should I try higher? Should I try it? And
they kept saying, always going to say yes, right?
Yes, yes.
They're always going to say
yes. So I did, and I did 5'5", and that was a new indoor world record in the pole.
All right. And I'm guessing that's unbeaten at this point, especially with the pandemic, right? Like that does.
Yes.
That,
and then
still?
I did a new high jump record that day also. So I had a good weekend.
All right. So is it your goal to just collect every track and field record for your age group?
Is it my goal? Yes.
Yes, of course. Of course. Awesome. Well, Flo, this has been just a delight and an honor. It is my hope that someone listening today, you inspired them to, whether it is get out and walk with a friend or try a sport that maybe they were thinking about doing or had considered, but pushed it way back to the back of their minds. Well, hopefully this is going to bring it to the front of their minds. No matter how old you are, it's never too late to try something new. And you never know where that journey is going to take you. And it's taken you to some amazing places. So Flo, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to share, I want to share that Olympic video in our show notes. So I'm going to grab the link for that and make sure that that link is on our website, because it's a really great profile. You said they followed you for 5 days. It mm-hmm. really shows your story in such a beautiful way. So I'm going to share that, in the show notes for this episode, so people can see even more about you. Flo Filion Myler, thank you so much for sharing your story and your inspiration with us and being a part of the Seasoned Athlete Podcast.
Thank you very much. It's been very enjoyable speaking with you.
Love what you've been hearing on the Seasoned Athlete Podcast? Now you can proclaim your love proudly by rocking your own Seasoned Athlete apparel. The new and improved Seasoned Athlete merch store is now up and running, and we have everything from shirts, hoodies, and hats to home decor and accessories. I have even selected a handful of super fun Seasoned Athlete approved artist designs for you to choose from. Want a fun retro design shirt that says poop then run? Yeah, you can get that on the new Seasoned Athlete merch store. From June 23rd to 27th, take advantage of a site-wide sale with $13 t-shirts and everything else up to 35% off. Check out all the designs and grab your perfect item at seasonedathlete.me/shop.